Well, we are in the Easter season, and next Sunday we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today is what we call Palm Sunday, which reminds us of Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem with crowds of people celebrating his arrival. And this was, however, short-lived, and Jesus is quickly betrayed and crucified. Easter is one of the most important celebrations that we have as Christians. You would think that putting a sermon together would be quite easy. And if I preach the same sermon every Easter season, then it would be easy. But I don't like to do that. So a little bit of today's message is probably something that you've heard before. But as I was kind of trying to figure out what am I going to preach on this year, and since we spent several weeks looking at Moses, I think that we'll kind of take a little trip back with the Israelites for a little bit. And God sent many plagues upon Egypt as a way to show the people of his greatness, to show the Israelites his tremendous love for them, and to convince Egypt to let his people go. But it wasn't until that last plague that brought Pharaoh to finally letting the Israelites go. The final plague is often referred to as the Passover. God told Moses that he would send an angel of death and strike down all the firstborn unless there was blood from a lamb on the doorposts. I'd like to read a little bit of that scripture with you, and you can find that in Exodus chapter 12, starting with verse 3. Otherwise, it'll also be up on the screen. Exodus 12, verse 3. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to, of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked in your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Now, I underlined several areas in there as I read through it, some of the areas that I'm going to be discussing this morning. And first of all, this lamb could be from a sheep or goat, but it needed to be a male. It needed to be 1 year old and also without defect. And for most of the sacrificial system that was set up in that time, all the animals being sacrificed needed to be without defect. And the Israelites needed to take special care of this particular lamb until it was time to slaughter it. Once they killed the lamb, they took the blood from it, put it on the doorposts, on the sides, and then on the top. And after you put the blood around the door, you are to cook it and eat it quickly. They would be fully dressed, wearing their sandals as if they are ready to go. And they ate it with urgency. It's interesting how this is all worded. You know, so much of it is being very specific on how to cook, how to eat, but even how they were to be dressed. It's as if they are needing to be ready to leave at any moment. They are ready for the Passover. See, God's going to execute his judgment. And every firstborn, whether man or animal, will be killed. This judgment will be widespread, but wherever there is blood on the doorpost, that judgment is going to pass over and not touch those covered by the blood. The last thing in this passage is that the Passover is to be commemorated and celebrated for generations, remembering the blood of the Lamb that marked the passing over of judgment. It's really a brief explanation of the sacrificial lamb of the Passover. And there's more that you can read and know, but you kind of get the point. And the Israelites celebrated the Passover for thousands of years. And you can often find that holiday or that celebration written into calendars today. You'll probably see it written in there as the Passover. Since we're not Jewish, or most of us are not Jewish, most of us don't really pay much attention to it. We don't really pay attention to that particular celebration. Why? Though the Passover was a tremendous event, that lamb only covered the Israelites from judgment on that one night, a long time ago, in the land of Egypt, under the wicked Pharaoh who didn't fear God. What if we were to slaughter a lamb today and put blood on our doorposts? Would anything happen? If you were sick, would you get well? No. I will say that if you did do that, something might happen. You might keep the traveling salespeople away, although we don't have that issue here in remote Wisconsin. You might keep your neighbors away too, and Jehovah's Witnesses maybe. I don't know. You also might get the attention of your neighbors who might call the police saying something's crazy going on over there. There's blood everywhere. But the reality is nothing's going to happen because the Israelites did this under the direction of God for something specific. That lamb's blood was good for one night under the direction of God. Yet the Bible tells us that we will all be judged someday. So we see that there was a judgment in Egypt. And now we're told in the Bible that there is a judgment for all of us someday. There will be a judgment for eternity. The outcome will either be eternal torment in hell, away from the presence of God, or it will be heaven, a place with no sorrow, no pain, and certainly no more death, and we will be in the presence of God. Do you know where you're heading? Do you know which is where you'll end up? I remember watching some interviews with people on the street, and this person was asking questions, asking people if they knew, if they were to die today, if they knew where they would go, heaven or hell. It was interesting to hear the responses that came. Many people believed that they were going to heaven. Some believed that because they were good, relatively good people, that they would go to heaven. Some people believe that, well, if my good deeds outweigh my bad, then I should go to heaven, kind of like on a scale. You know, if all my good deeds, I keep doing more good deeds than bad, then I'll go to heaven. Well, what does Scripture tell us? Two well-known passages in Romans give us a pretty good idea. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." See, everyone on earth falls in this category. All have sinned, and because of our sin, we have earned death. It's pretty cut and dry. The judgment upon the Egyptians was only for the firstborn. So we're going back to the Israelites and that last plague. That judgment was only for the firstborn. And that's nothing compared to what is coming. Everyone falls in the category of death, which is referring to hell. Everyone has sinned. And because of our sin, we've earned the judgment of death. And for those who think that we're, you know, relatively a good person, we see another verse in Romans 3:10. "There is no one righteous, not even one." Well, what does this mean? It means that no one is good enough to earn their way into heaven. No one. And we have a judgment coming concerning our eternity, and this should be some disturbing news. For those that don't know where I'm going with this. This should be disturbing to know that we are all under a judgment that's coming and all are heading to hell unless we have a Savior. We are given a lamb that's a little different than we see in the Passover lamb. It'll take more than a one-year-old lamb like we see in the Passover. It'll take something even more. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been referred to by as many different things, and one of the things we see in the Bible is that we see He is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming to the river, John introduced Jesus to those standing around, and we see how he introduced Him in John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is introduced as the Lamb of God. See, the Passover lamb and other sacrifices of the Old Testament, like a guilt offering, were simply pointing us in the direction of Christ. It was pointing the people in the direction of Jesus, the ultimate Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and His role will bring us salvation. But let's look in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, and we'll see a little more. 1 Peter 1:19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." See, Peter is bringing not so much a comparison of Christ to the Lamb, but telling us that He is fulfilling that role of Lamb. Christ's death was a sacrifice for our sins. And when we make Jesus our Lord, His blood covers us, and what we are, it covers us in the judgment that would be coming on us. But because of Christ, as the Lamb, God passes His judgment over us. You see in the Old Testament where God's angel of death passed over when he saw the blood. That's similar to what we can expect in the future when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. We have that judgment of hell coming, and God sees, oh, the blood of Christ covers this one and passes over. It gives us another visual. There's lots of things that the Bible points us to when it comes to salvation, but this is one of those. I'm not sure if you'd call it a metaphor, but it gives us a visual picture in our minds. Christ's death was a sacrifice for our sins. And when we make Jesus our Lord, his blood covers us. And that judgment is actually put on Jesus Christ. When he dies on the cross, that was our judgment. Jesus took that from us. But why does Peter point out that Jesus was a lamb without blemish or defect? He doesn't mean that Jesus was just capable of being a lamb for us. He's actually telling us that Jesus was the only one to be a lamb for us. I pointed out a little bit ago that all of us have sinned and no one is righteous, meaning all of us are blemished. All of us are defective because of the sin in our lives. Yet Jesus, though tempted in every way, was and is the only person who was without sin. Hebrews 5, the second half of Hebrews 4:15 says, "But we have one," that's referring to Jesus Christ, "who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Jesus is the only one without sin. And 1 John 1:8 points to that we all have sin in our lives. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we have seen John the Baptist refer to Jesus as the Lamb, and we have seen Peter refer to Jesus as the Lamb. Paul the Apostle also refers to Jesus as the Lamb, and specifically calls Jesus the Passover Lamb in 1 Corinthians 5:7. "For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." Because of what Jesus did, the judgment due will be passed over us. Kind of getting back to that same statement again. Jesus is our Passover Lamb. His blood covers us, so that we can experience salvation, not just for today, for one time, but eternity. We also see the Lamb that was slain referred to many times in the book of Revelation, which was written by the Apostle John. The Lamb, who is Jesus, is to be praised. Revelation 5:12 through 13 says, "In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" The Lamb is to be praised. The Old Testament Passover Lamb saved the Israelites from a plague. It was a one event. It was for one time, meant for one group of people, and power forever and ever. The Lamb is to be praised. The Old Testament Passover Lamb saved the Israelites from a plague. It was a one event. It was for one time, meant for one group of people. Yet the Lamb of God, that is Jesus Christ, is for everyone who calls upon him, and his blood covers them. Jesus brought salvation for an eternity, not just for one event. To be praised. The Old Testament Passover lamb saved the Israelites from a plague. It was a one event. It was for one time, meant for one group of people. Yet the Lamb of God, that is Jesus Christ, is for everyone who calls upon him, and his blood covers them. Jesus brought salvation for an eternity, not just for one event. We have so much to be thankful. You see, on Palm Sunday, Jesus was entering Jerusalem for the final time. It was during this week that the Passover was celebrated. Jesus and his 12 came together in a large upper room where they enjoyed the Passover meal. This would be the last meal that he would have with his 12 apostles, as he would later be betrayed and arrested and then crucified. Mark 14:22 talks about that Passover meal a little bit. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. We can praise the Lord for what he has done for us. You see, on Palm Sunday, Jesus was entering Jerusalem for the final time. It was during this week that the Passover was celebrated. Jesus and his 12 came together in a large upper room where they enjoyed the Passover meal. This would be the last meal that he would have with his 12 apostles, as he would later be betrayed and arrested and then crucified. Mark 4, if you're visiting with us today and you are a follower of Jesus Christ and he is your Lord and Savior, I would say join us as we take communion. I also want to say that once you've been served, just please spend some time in prayer, reflecting on what those elements mean, the bread and the cup. They not only represent the body and the blood, but they represent hope. They represent forgiveness. They represent salvation and eternal life. They represent so much of what we look forward to.